This program is made possible by friends and partners of Apostle Avrome Osai, Remnant Christian Network Ministry. God bless you as you join us.
Any more time? Let's welcome all the way from Makurdi, Apostle Avrome Osai. When he came, I said, we are both in blue. You're in blue.
Once again, I want to thank Pastor, the mighty prince of the gospel in this hour. I recognize your significance in the body of Christ and accept this privilege to stand in your shoes with fear and trembling, trusting God for grace this morning. Thank you for encouraging us. I find expression under your authority. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise. And we ask that you bring your counsel to us in simple, plain language, as Jesus would have done if he were physically present teaching us. And at the end of this session, take all the glory. In Jesus' name. Please, you may be seated. Happy New Year to you. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, as we try to bring perspective on our theme for the conference this year. It is a deep theme, so we want to bring perspective. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. The shape of this garment is suggestive of the fact that he has decided to make an appearance. He has decided to make an appearance after the order of his designation as a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And the Bible reveals that this garment was to the foot, and that he was girded about the paps or the breast with a golden band. And that is suggestive of the fact, because that's the replacement of what used to be the curious girdle that the Levitical priest normally puts on in order for him to begin to walk. In this case, the band is on his breast, which is symbolic of the fact that walk is accomplished. And right now, in this context, he is making available life from the breast, sustaining life. Now, the Bible also says that his head and his hairs were white like wool. If you're a student of the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9, you are going to see that the description of his hair is consistent with the fact that he is operating from an ancient platform. Now, when we talk about an ancient platform, that was the kind of thing that was available, operational, when Jesus encountered Saul on the way to Damascus. When Saul hit the earth, Jesus called to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Then he gave him a parable. "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." He spoke as an ancient, and what he was telling Paul was that the things that we set up in eternity, there is nothing you can do in time to undo it. You will only find yourself hurting yourself because the die is already cast. So the Bible says that he appears here as an ancient. It was still in this capacity that he functioned that the Bible says that the princes of this world did not understand the wisdom that he was operating with. Because if they had known, they would not have crucified him. Satan is a created being. There were many things in eternity that were set in motion before creation began. And whenever God wants to accomplish his purpose, no matter how diligent Satan is, he unlocks one of the capsules of eternal mystery that have been set up before the foundations of the earth. And then you will see the insufficiency and the miscalculations of the devil begin to find expression. And so in the book of Revelation chapter 1, Jesus appears as an ancient. The Bible also reveals that he has eyes that are like a flame of fire. And that means those eyes are piercing and assessing. For instance, if God says I should do something for him, and I do what I want, even if I succeed at what I do, when Jesus comes to see what I have done, he will see it from his own perspective. And if what I have done doesn't line up with his own perspective, it will burn. Are you there? So these are piercing eyes of judgment. I'm just trying to give you a description of this priest after the order of Melchizedek that had to come to introduce himself to John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos. The reason for the introduction and all of these encounters that John had to have was because John had the wrong perspective of him. John saw him from a time-based context, Jesus of Nazareth. And in order for him to move John to higher levels of prophetic ministry, he had to show John the original context of things so that accurate engagement would be possible. Are you still with me? Because of time, I have to jump. Go to verse 15. That's my emphasis. "And his feet, like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace." Now, when we talk about his feet here, because a lot of metaphors are interplaying in this presentation, we are talking about his walk. His walk was bright and blameless, and that is what gives him the authority to administer judgment. There were many times that Satan came to scrutinize him. He testified and said that the prince of this world cometh, and he found nothing in me. His walk was so bright, was so brilliant, and that is the reason for which he has authority to administer justice and judgment, because brass, bronze, means judgment. I don't have time to show you all the assortment of scriptures that establishes that. But the Bible says, as though it burned in a furnace, indicative of the fact that his walk was tried and found accurate. And in that regard, he has capacity and authority to administer justice and judgment. And then also, the Bible says, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. We will need to consult with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, in order for us to begin to make attempts to unravel the might of the emphasis of this year's conference. Hebrews 12, 25. In order for us to decode the theme of the conference, we will need to split the speakings of God into two realms. We need to see the speakings of God, the texture of the speakings of God, in the context of the pavilion of the heavens. Then we also need to see the speakings of God in the context of His manifestation on the earth. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, we are informed, this is an update of our status in new covenant affairs. And according to Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible reveals that we are come unto Mount Zion. And that happens to be God's administrative headquarters, where His policies are issued, where all the dynamics of the kingdom of God is situated. Because it happens to be that the center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God, and the center of the administration of God is the throne of God. And it happens to be that that throne is domiciled in Zion. For the Bible says that it's Mount Zion, signs of the northern city of the great king. So there is a robust administrative context that is revealed to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And our life is seeded to the might of the administration and the collocation of realities that find expression in that context. So this is an intelligence update so that we can operate effectively in the light of our current reality. It brings us to verse 25. Please give me 25 on the screen if you have it. It says, see, this is an instruction that will guide our operation when we operate from Zion. It says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that speak on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from he that speaketh from heaven? So there are two speakings that we need to analyze in order to interpret that phrase, the sound of many waters. So let's look at the speakings of God in the heavens. Hallelujah. Maybe we use 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning from verse 40 to 41. Quickly. And this is Elijah. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, and let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon, and slew them there. 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. This was based on his perception of what was going on in heaven, because there was no physical sound in the realm. But this man had tapped into heaven's frequency, and he was able to hear a sound in the heavens. Now, it suggests that it's as though God, in order for him to do anything, he makes sound first. Like if you check the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that there was a sound that came from heaven. It was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. It was about the velocity of the Holy Spirit's movement when he came to invade death. So I think God makes sound before he accomplishes what he wants to do. And Elijah was able to pick the frequency in the heavens, and he said there is a sound of an abundance of rain. That the context here is heaven. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me today. Stay with me. I don't know how you get the themes of this conference. I had to... Well, let me leave my story. You need God to be able to unravel. All right. Second point there. 2 Samuel 5, 23 to 24. You need God to unravel a theme if it's crafted by pastor. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over and against the mulberry trees." Next verse. "And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go before thee." Now this is a general, and God is giving him battle strategy for victory. And he told him that you will need to be diligent to see when a sound. This is on earth. The first one we saw about Elijah, he picked that sound in the heavens. And that sound he picked in the heavens was the reason for the downpour that took place in the earth. All right? You can hear a sound in heaven, and the significance of that. Okay, let's not go there. Let's not go there. I'm just showing you that God made a sound in heaven. God made a sound in the earth. Did you get that? Okay. So, when we talk about the sound of many waters, the first question we need to ask is, where is the sound? Is it in heaven or in earth? So that we can interpret with the context of where the sound is. Are you there with me? All right. So if we go to the book, if you see the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 15, where we read, if you want to understand the context, then we'll need to go to verse 10. And in verse 10, John said, "I was in the Spirit on the last day." So everything that John is saying, that John is presenting about Jesus, it was in heaven because he was in the Spirit. It means that the sound of many waters that we are talking about, which is the voice of Jesus, the voice of this great monarch, that is how the sound is in the context of the layer of heaven. That's how it sounds in heaven. So when he utters his words, the thing sounds like many waters in heaven. So that's what John said to us. The issue now is, how does that sound, what is the manifestation of that sound on earth? It is one thing for us to decode the sound in the heavens, but like Elijah, when he decoded that sound, he was able to interpret it to mean that the heavens are open and there's going to be a downpour. And he gave strategic intelligence to the king on what he needs to do in view of the fact that he has secured the sound in heaven and there's going to be a manifestation upon the face of the earth. It is one thing for you to hear the sound in heaven. It is another thing for you to know the manifestation of that sound upon the face of the earth. Are you with me? Now, this aspect I'm trying to do is the teaching aspect. So bring us to a point before we go to the prophetic aspect. Are you still with me? So the thing now that we need to study out, to start out from scripture, is to see the manifestation of that sound of many waters that John picked in the heavens upon the face of the earth. Turn with me. Let us make an attempt. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 10. Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Then he gives us a definition here. For the testimony of Jesus is the spiritual prophecy. The testimony of Jesus, or the speakings of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. If we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, we need to know why God is speaking in these last days by his Son. Because there were many people that spoke about God previously. Why has God decided to switch to empowering a different spokesman to speak on his behalf? Are you there? Now, you see, the reason for which I went to Hebrews is because I need to explain what testimony is. When you study your Bible, you will find things like the statutes of God. You'll find things like the laws of God. You'll find things like the precepts of God. You'll find things like the commandments of God. And a lazy Bible student will say that all of these things are the same thing, but they just use them interchangeably. I came to tell you that they are not the same. Because when we talk about testimony, the testimony of God, the testimony, it is something that only God can do. When we talk about testimony, we're talking about God speaking about himself by himself. No man can do that one. It's just like a biography is written and an autobiography is written. So in a testimony, it's God that is speaking by himself, about himself or his program. He's speaking it by himself. So the Bible is saying that the testimony of Jesus is captured in the spirit of prophecy. It's captured in the enablement that empowers men to prophesy. So when that thunderbolt blasts in the heavens, the expression of that thunderbolt in the earth is that the spirit of prophecy that captures the testimony of Jesus will hit a man. And that man will begin to bring that, the weight of that intelligence will begin to gush forth through his vocal cord to bring that mighty utterance of God into the earth in simple, plain language. And when that is done, the authority that was released to back that word up in the heavens comes into the earth and it takes the effect. Are you there? We're still trying to unravel. Now, so this is the first part. When that utterance that sounds like many waters comes into the earth, it comes in form of prophecy. But we need to also unravel why it is called the sound of many waters. So let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 to 15. Revelation 17, 14 to 15. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. Verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the many waters, the metaphor many waters, it is referring to turbulent humanity that holds sway under the influence of a seducing spirit that intends to manipulate humanity away from God. And the only thing that can bring humanity into alignment with God, with his purposes in the earth, is the sound of many waters. Prophetic words that capture the purposes of God for individuals, for cities, for tribes, for nations, for continents, for kings. These prophetic words, are you still with me? Okay. Since you didn't understand that, I still need to introduce another scripture. Let's go to the book of Revelation. I didn't intend to read too many scriptures, but when pastor comes up with a team, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 10. We'll do 8 to 11. Then we'll now shift briefly. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and what? Kings. Thou shalt prophesy. There was, it will interest you to know that when the prophetic word is spoken, everybody is excited. It is sweet. But when that word begins to exercise government over you so that the purpose that is carried in that word will come to pass, it can be an extremely bitter process. You know, we were in a meeting and a senior man of God many years ago prophesied on me. And he said that, these things that I've spoken to you about, they will begin to, a time will come, you will go to Lagos, and then the things will begin to come to pass. So in my office, I was posted to Lagos, which was a posting I didn't like. So I got here. My welcome to Lagos was like my Camry, my Toyota Camry. In those days, Camry, you don't understand what I'm talking about. My Camry was stolen. That was my welcome to Lagos. So I was in the oil industry. If I get my monthly salary, I can buy a car. So, and I was hoping to get a car at the end of the month, and then the great one now comes and says, you will not buy a car now. Use these yellow buses. I thought it was for 6 months, for it became 7 years. Now, it was in those buses that those encounters the man spoke about, I got them in the buses. You see, the word can be sweet when it is spoken in your mouth. But the process that it will require to bring it to pass, none of us will opt for such a process. But the fact that you receive the word has implicated you to bring the bitterness. It was after he had experienced the bitterness of the scroll that he now had authority to what? Prophesy. And if you see the scope of his prophetic ministry, can you bring that scripture back again? One word that he received that God was able to process in his life gave him the authority to be able to speak to people. To speak to what? To nations. To speak to what? to tongues. That means, when last did you hear a prophecy about the Yoruba nation, just the Yoruba nation? Now, does it mean that God doesn't have a counsel for that people group? The reason why such specific people group prophecies are lacking is because of our inability to tap into the frequency of the sound of many waters. Are you still with me? Now, only men that have been processed, that have gone through the bitterness of the influence of the government of the Word of God as it produces results in the lives of men, have the capacity to contain measures of God. You see, this is an impartation. Measures of God that will give us that latitude to be vessels that can communicate the mind of God for nations. Now listen, I hope you know that on the day of Pentecost, something happened. When the Holy Ghost came down, there was no need for an interpreter on the day of Pentecost. Because what was breaking out, every man could hear it in his own language. So the nations heard the counsel of God. The nations heard the voice of God in their own context, in their own language. So every facet of human endeavor, the military, for instance, there is a voice of God for the military, for the members of the armed forces at this time. There is a voice of God for people that are in software development. There's an agenda, there's a strategy of God that covers that sphere. And that's why it's called the sound of many waters. Now, so what I just finished is the teaching aspect, just to. So let us go into today's counsel of God. The counsel of God today, or the voice of God for our own generation. Are you there? I will take one out of six. Because if you want to predict the future trends, there are seven things that you need to be armed with. But I'll give us a cyclical pattern of accuracy. Secondly, we now have signs. Even if your blood pressure begins to run haywire, there are signs that it will give you on your body. You know it's time to cool down. If a woman is ovulating, there are signs that it gives. So I'm going to dwell on signs. Because we are trying to find the counsel of God for nations. It will interest you to know that from the moment that the monarch of the United Kingdom passed, because the Greenwich Meridian happens to be in London, and that is the reference point for time and position. It is Big Ben that sets the time for the whole world. And longitude zero is in Greenwich. The moment that displacement took place, it means that there is a shift. I'm talking about signs. I'm using signs as my parameter for this lecture this morning. A shift that will affect all time zones. And whenever there is a shift in the earth, because if you have studied, I don't have time to give you a lecture on the politics of Kenya. And how that he had to take that shift for a different kind of government that is not within the scope of the circle of government as prescribed by the founding fathers could happen. It happened out of context. It was not consistent with the sequence. That kind of displacement can take place only when there is a shift. And from the moment of her passing, I know you are aware, all the nations that are connected to that scepter shifted. The reason why we can hope for a possible new Nigeria is in keeping with that shift. But if the watchmen in the territory do not understand how to interpret that sign and to take their journey, then the sound for our own nation will be missed. And whenever there is a shift, I need to tell you the implication. There will be new prophecies. Yes. The moment your life experiences a shift, God will be making a location for new prophetic words to come your way. Because it's a new context altogether. For many months, in the place of prayer, I keep seeing an angel come with a book. For many years, it is either a new page or a new chapter. But when we started drawing close to this year, it became a book. I prayed. I said, what sign is this? He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Whenever there is a shift and the prophetic word that is supposed to drive you doesn't get to you, that shift will make you obsolete. That's the first prayer point. Are you still with me? When God began to open these matters to me, I became afraid of pastor. Because after we did the power of God's mercy, God showed me mercy. Serious mercy. So I'm trying to decode what God will do to me now. Many people are already on the path of missing the prophetic word that is consistent with this shift season. You need to go and tap into the frequency of the mind of God concerning your ministry. Because the Lord gave us some form of a breakthrough where we are. And we built a small building. And they built a big office for me in a small building. So, and they were so concerned about how my office should look like. And then, when they finished furnishing the office, I came to take possession of the office. Then the great one said, this is not your place. Don't get used to this place. Your place is on the field. Assign this office to somebody else. So I called one of our ministers and said, you like praying for money till night. You lack our accommodation. Come and take this place. Now, if there is no shift in your own life, it means that you have not shifted with the season. It means you'll be outside of the economy of God that establishes God's purpose. You start becoming irrelevant, not because you are a sinner. So the first thing that happens when a shift like this takes place is that there are new prophecies. The second thing that happens is that there are new journeys. Some things that you never thought you'd be involved with now becomes a priority. For instance, I never thought I had any business with the crusade ground. I prefer conference environments like this. And then a shift now took place. Then I started seeing myself in crusades. Meanwhile, previously I tried to preach in crusades and the anointing will lift from my head. So I said, okay, it's not my portion. But when a shift took place, that's the best kind of meeting for me now. You see, no man is wise in himself. You are as relevant as your accuracy in the scheme of things that God has opened up in the season that you find yourself. New journeys will come out of significant shifts. And there is a sound of many waters that is gushing forth from heaven concerning individuals, concerning ministries, concerning cities, concerning. What do you know about the city where your church is planted? What do you know about the purpose of God for that piece of real estate? Do you know the warfare? Why Satan is contending for that space? There are many insights that if you lack, you will just be a passerby. You will never be in the main ring of activity that determines the destiny of the territory. Meanwhile, the moment the guy ate that scroll, he had capacity to preach, to prophesy, to what? You can see the wide spectrum of prophetic ability that was committed to him because of a certain scroll that he ate. That is the extent to which God is willing to bring intelligence so that we can be accurate. Now, when God wants to edge out a man that has found success apart from his voice, what he does is that he just ordains a shift. He doesn't need to fight him. A shift will just take place, and that shift will render that man irrelevant. Now, the fact that he's irrelevant doesn't mean that he will stop having money. Money can, if you know how to put the systems in place, money will keep flowing. But the fact that there is money doesn't mean that you are in the cutting edge of what God is doing. Please help me tell your neighbor there are new journeys. Thirdly, a shift will create new warfare. There's a new context for warfare. You will find that Satan will be fighting for something. The emphasis of demonic battles will not be as it was in the old context. And if you are not aware of the shift, you will not even understand the reason why some things are happening to you. Suddenly, there are demonic activities that you cannot explain. Say, this has not been happening to me before. Ah, it's Satan has shifted. You are the only one still operating with old syllables. There is a shift. I want to stop so that we can pray. When there's a shift, then there are new mandates. Apart from the call with which you pioneered that ministry, God now gives you another responsibility that you knew nothing about when you started. And the reason is because the reference point has shifted. And everything around your life will need to experience a shift. For intercessors, the times you pray will have to change. He will tell you, stop praying this time, go this time. And maybe the hours that you put in. If you are in this congregation and what I'm saying doesn't apply to you in any way, you are fractured, you are outside of alignment. And that's why this conference was put together, so that you can find yourself. A lot of people are going to get lost before December. A lot of people. I've seen the thrones of many cities cast down. And many people that were in the forefront of affairs will fade away. Not that they will die. They will have no voice to contend with the enemy at the gate. New wars! Lord woke me up and said, if you want to find me now, look for me in the night. The entire scope of priesthood has changed, and I don't like it. I work very hard in the day. So I prefer to sleep and then wake up early. He said, the way now is that night you like. That is where the business. So if you are wise, you will not argue. You make adjustments quickly. I did not make adjustments quickly. When he said, look for me in the night, I gave him reasons why the night was not good. Then I went to preach somewhere. When I got back, I found out
that half of my body was paralyzed. And there was an everlasting pain on my back that no drug could cure. Then I went back to him. He said, are you not, you know, we talk about the night. I said, I'm ready now. The warfare had changed. It gave me intelligence, strategy on how to contend in this season. When I accepted, the pain left. That was a practical way of letting me know that I'm not too important. Yes, yes. You can fade out. You can even be struck down. But a man that has access to intelligence, he can survive the greatest storms. Friends, I came to tell you there are new walls, new mandates, new journeys, new speakings over the nations. I know you are aware that the pendulum of God's interest has shifted to Africa. I know you are aware of that. That's why I didn't mention that one. You don't need to be a prophet to know that the sons of Africa are the ones that will stabilize Christianity in the world today. You don't need to be a prophet to know that. Three moves of God are going to take place on the continent of Africa, and Nigeria have been chosen with and sealed to be one of the nations that will be in the forefront of the move of God, giving direction to the nations of the world. People, we need to come here to learn God now. And that's why Satan will not want our politics, our nation, to be stable. He will not want our politics to have any headway. He will want us to be rocking like a donkey that is drunk. The reason for our warfare is because of our strategic placement, and the shift has even made us more vulnerable. Yeah. Satan may not need to pass through Burkina Faso, because in the scheme of things, there is no mighty role that nation will play. The nation will only receive from the places that God has planted his nursery. I saw a change of guard. Yes, the change of guard is complete and is sealed. Your prayer can't change it anymore. I want to stop here. Because we need to, like Abraham, we need to take our journey. He said, yes, you have been in all the Chaldees, but your destiny takes you yonder. You need to drop the identity that you have in the nation. Go to the immigration office and ask them to remove your name from the lexicon of the nation. Go to your family, ask them to remove your name from the family tree. And walk with me. You will go to a land that I will show you. And it's in that land that I will make you a great nation. The land has sufficient resources to support your destiny. And you will become a father of nations. So much so that the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims claim Abraham today to be their ancestor. I'd like you to consider what kind of man of stature this man really is. He was able to align with God and move when it was time to move. We want to pray for 10 minutes. Because I beheld, as I prayed before this meeting today, there are two people in this congregation that the way God will begin to speak to you, beginning from the month of February, it will come with so much clarity that you will think that it is audible, even though it is from within. Now, listen to me. They are new speakers. If you stay with God, keep a sensitive mode throughout the year, you'll be seeing the sound of many waters will begin to come. Your own allocation in the broad spectrum will begin to come to you. And that strategic movement you need to make, that strategic step you need to take, God will unveil it to you, because many people are going to be relevant in the days ahead. First prayer point is this: I open myself to your current speakings over my life, over my territory, over my city, over my nation. I open my life to your speakings. I want to hook up with the frequency of your spirit. I want to hook up with the frequency of the Holy Ghost at this time. I open myself. Sabo siko seni ne meheski so santelia. There are new speakings in the realm. For many of us have tarried around one mountain for too long, and God is seeking to provoke you. For some of us, the brook has dried up, and you cannot see that God has moved. So the light of Pila na Santoria. Neprosia lamantele. Savoneti koskete mahabakandale. Iabobosia terminando koria. Braskito mene katabunde. Speak to us, O God. For your servants hear you. Your servants hear you. Your servants hear you. Your servants hear you. It is time to take your journey. There is a shift. There are new speakings in the realm of the Spirit. New journeys. New wars. New mandates. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Siabone iko teni manteli abrestatomo. Even the things that we called impossible, God is willing to make them possible in this season. Psycho sana mamantale. Bobro koto mose liko tamina kaadia. Rasko se dia kantema udemande. Thank you, Father. We take our journey. We will walk with you. We will walk with you. We will journey like Abraham, navigating through spiritual pathways in search of our inheritance. We will walk with you. Oh, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. I see a sign from heaven. I see a linen garment. A linen garment. A white linen garment descending from heaven. And the Lord tells me that there is a lady. You are in this auditorium today. You are supposed to be a carrier of the presence of God. That you move with the presence of God from place to place. And when you come with that saturation into a place that has demonic strongholds, just by being there, that place is besieged by the power of God. And the Lord said that I will meet that lady here this morning. So, and as I speak, the anointing to operate in that dimension will begin to rest upon you. It will begin to come upon that lady. Oh my God. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. The Lord wants to give someone here the gift of word of knowledge. It will come on you like a fire. Like a fire. You will sense fire on your body. Fire on your body. Lord, in the name of Jesus. That one that you want to give the gift of word of knowledge. Let your hand descend like a fire. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Psychomasiko Brentamina Kalanto Eskiso Sanakadeba. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Listen to me. There is an anointing that makes you see into the realm of the Spirit. In the next 10 seconds, 7 people will receive that anointing. You don't need to say amen. Don't need to say amen. It's already happening. 7 people receive it. 7 people. It will come on 7 people. It will come on 7 people. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Let it come strong. Let it come strong. I see a lady in the spirit. And this lady, oh my God, you were designed by God to be a prophetic intercessor. And so today God comes to equip you with that anointing, 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 with that anointing. Holy Ghost! Move! He will make you wise by His Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. There is a sister. You use glasses. Probably because you are short-sighted or long-sighted, I don't know. But this is what the Lord says. He said, I will heal your eyes. You don't even need to say amen. Just listen. I will heal your eyes. And when I heal your eyes, I will now anoint you. And then your spiritual eyes will open. So if you are a sister here, you have eye issues and you use glasses, remove the glasses. Remove the glasses quickly. Lay your hand on your eyes now. Because you'll be healed now. You will see now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirits, be bound. Be bound. Be bound. Come out of the eyes in Jesus' name. Hear me. I command you, see in the name of Jesus. See in the name of Jesus. Yes, that's enough. You can check your eyes. I have 1 minute 37 seconds. Check your eyes, oh sister. If you notice there's a change, just wave your hand. Check your eyes. If you notice there's a change, okay, that's one. If you notice there's a change, wave your hand. Now, what you will do for me? Are you with me? Those of you that have a change in your sight, come here. You'll be anointed now. If you notice that there is a change, come to the front quickly. You'll be anointed here. I have 57 seconds. Please join in. 52 seconds. Yep. Join in. Your spiritual eyes will open. Now. Okay, don't move again. Stand where you are. Stand where you are. Stand where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, he said he will anoint them so that their spiritual eyes will open. The ones that you have chosen among these ones, show a sign. Let the anointing come upon them. The ones that you have chosen, let the anointing come. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. It's coming now. It's coming. It's coming now. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger on those vessels. The ones you have chosen, let the anointing come stronger. Let it come stronger. In the name of Jesus.
To know more about Apostle Aroma Osai and his ministry, Remnant Christian Network, kindly visit at rcnglobal.org and follow us on social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Apostle Aroma Osai, or call +234 8060 5088888. God bless you.